Okay, so we're about to get started on the five halukas of Sukkah de Zimra. And these are the last kapitlach Tehillim of Sefer Tehillim. So it really is it's a big, major point. There's a reason why Chazal picked this and they inserted this into our daily tefillahs, both during the week and Shabbos, as the center. So halacha, if you're running late and you got to minimize, so if you have time for all five halukas, you say them, and of course Ashrei. The least you do is say Ashrei, and then if you're running out of time, so then Ashrei and the third Halukah, and then already you start picking which ones come next. But essentially, Ashrei and the five Halukahs are the core of Sukkah de Zimra. And Hirsch, the introduction to Hirsch's commentary on Tehillim says that even as a child, he considered Sefer Tehillim his favorite Sefer. And he remembered with great fondness as a child, I don't know what age, he would go to his father at the end of his father's busy day and present to his father what he thought was themes, mahalach, in any given kapitel of Tehillim. And then he would write notes on these things if he got his father's approval. His father apparently was a big expert in Tanakh, and his father would critique it. And apparently those very notes, which were found in his possessions after he passed away, were compared against his commentary to Tehillim. Now, the commentary to Tehillim was the last major sefer that he wrote. He was already quite an old man. He finished, I think, his parish on Chumash in his maybe when he was around 60. He passed away when he was 80. His last sefer that he wrote a parish on was on the Siddur, but mostly referenced back to his commentary to Tehillim, and he didn't really repeat the same thing. Someone else, his son-in-law and one of his sons, decided which excerpts from his commentary to Tehillim that were they put into the Siddur. But it's almost word for word, like introductory remarks on Kapitlach were put into his Siddur. So he was really quite an old man when he worked on his Sefer Tehillim. It was really his whole shtickl, his whole approach to life has already been organized and put through writings and review and many, many articles over the years, over the decades. And what's amazing is those notes that he had as a child on the first 30 Kapitlach are almost word for word the same stuff that he had when he was older. So I always marveled at that on the Sefer Chorev. He was a young man in his late 20s and through his 30s when he lived in this little region, I forgot the name of it, where he lived a quiet life because there wasn't much doing there. That was his first shteller as a Rav. And during that time, he apparently went through Kol HaTorah Kula privately and he wrote Sefer Chorev, which is basically every single halacha that we have is Ma'azer, explaining both the halachas. It was almost like a kitzer written in German for people who didn't know any better to help them. But it was also explaining the hashkafas and the philosophy behind all the halachas. He went through Kol HaTorah Kula and he had notes. Just on Bris Milah alone, I came across something the other day. Just the mitzvah Bris Milah, how much work he did on that one mitzvah, which he was working on everything like that. The Shilohs and Shuvahs he was working on too. He had a lot of quiet time. I think it was 13 years that he lived in that area before he got a really serious role in a much more prominent city. But during that time, it was amazing. And everything that he wrote later fit into that hashkafa that he had already in as a young man, as a young Rav. He really had his act together very early on. Anyway, so what I'm trying to do now, I was thinking about this, I must have put 4 hours into preparing this. And yet we say these words during davening every morning. It takes us roughly 5 minutes to say this, which is almost an impossible thing to cram in that much thought into 5 minutes thought. As a matter of fact, I myself, during this week, I was putting in, let's say, 40 minutes, 45 minutes. I picked a day. I did one kapitel. Another day I did another. And I wrote notes. And I took my highlighter. And all of that is all very nice. And then the next day, I would challenge myself that now that you just recently did it, you did it yesterday, you put 45 minutes into this. So now when you dive in it the next day, think about what you said. And even then, I find myself spacing out. So it's hard. This is not the kind of thing that I expect we're all going to hear it and say, now I see the light, now I understand. It doesn't work that way. This is the kind of thing that if you get it, then you got to review it and you got to think about it some more. What I'm actually thinking of doing, if I have the time, Hashem should give me the kayach, is these five kapitlach that I'm going to go over very briefly, like literally 5 minutes each. What I'm thinking of doing is for my own self, and if anyone's interested, they can, I have access to it, almost make like a podcast per Kapitel Tehillim and spends not 5 minutes, maybe 10 or 12 minutes on each, where I'll go through the psukim and then translations and show how the theme fits in a little bit slower, more slowly, so that a person who wanted to work on it and really like drill it in could just listen to it a few times, and then it becomes easier to hear how each pasuk fits into the whole thing. But for tonight, we're not doing that. It's too much. I think I just may just offer that, and I'll send links if I get it done to where you can see that. But for tonight, I'm going to really just try to do 5 minutes each kapitel. So that's a lot of introduction, and it's already 10:15. So here we go. So we're going to start with the first one after Ashrei, Haluka Halina Shias Hashem. So this particular, the main theme of this kapitel is Hashkocha Pratus, God's divine providence for every individual person. And he's talking to the Nefesh. The Nefesh is this invisible kayach inside our souls. The word Hallel means, he says, the literal translation is to reflect, even though we say it means to give praise, but it really means when you see something back on where it comes from, it's to give, to attribute it to where it comes from. He says that the Nefesh is the best part, the best thing in the universe that could possibly perceive Hashem, because the Nefesh is invisible, and it knows its own existence through its whatever it's in some spiritual realm. It can detect Hashem, the invisible God, in operating in the world. So David's talking to the Nefesh, is you should reflect back, give attribute back to Hashem in who He is. And it's really telling that we all go through different things in life. We have our ups, we have our downs, happy moments and sad. And the first pasuk there, after he says you have to give praise, he says, I recognize it's not all perfect, but let's realize that Hashem is in every part of our life. First he says, Ahalla Hashem b'chayoi. Well, the name of Hashem is the Yud Kevavke. That's Hashem midas harachamim. That's the good Hashem, the Hashem that we feel the goodness of Him. And it's b'chayoi. In my life, when I'm feeling in the groove, things are going well for me, and I'm feeling alive. So when I'm feeling that, Ahalla, recognizing Yud Kevavke, that goodness that Hashem is bestowing. But sometimes it's be'odi. Be'odi means as long as I'm still hanging in there, while I'm yet here, I'm barely hanging in, I'm going through rough times. And then the God that he's referring to there is Lelokai, Midas Adin, when God's being tough with me. And it's rough. But then Azamra. Azamra means I'm going to stir up emotions to get to the point that I can find my connection to Hashem. So it's right, these things are right in the words when you think about them. So it's telling the person and the individual, no matter what I go through in life, there's going to be some way to connect it back to Hashem and feel the thanks, whether it's good or bad. And then it goes on to say, don't trust other people, because you can't rely on anybody. It's really between you and Hashem. The next pasuk, right, don't trust in the Nedivim, or people may be helping you. Maybe you're broken, you're getting help from who knows who. But the truth is, even when you're getting help from society and from whatever it is, and that's very nice, but realize that it's really coming from Hashem. So relate it all back to Hashem. Because those people, they're going to die one day, they're not going to be here, and who knows what. And Ashrei Shekel Yaakov, as our Pasuk Hey, Yaakov always refers to someone, the Yaakov as opposed to Yisrael, is the Jewish nation that goes through its trials and its suffering. Yaakov, who had his hard times. Yisrael is already when he's victorious. When we see where Yisrael is heading, that's Yisrael. The Yaakov is when we go through trouble. So Ashrei Shekel Yaakov Ezra. A person is lucky, is fortunate, when he sees that despite his troubles, Hashem is there helping him. Sivro, his hope, is on Hashem Elokov. Okay, then he relates back to look at the power that Hashem has. Oseh Shemayim V'aretz, he makes everything. And then he says, look, there are individuals who go through stuff, but in the end Hashem bails them out. People who are downtrodden, people are hungry, and Hashem will take care of them. So hold on a second. He says that over here, these are people suffering at the hands of tyranny or hard times. That's this category here, and Hashem takes care of them. And as we see, he says the end of the pasuk we learned from the truck, Hashem is matir asurim. You can count them because look, Hashem often is matir asurim. He lets the people who are bound up go out. Similarly, the next pasuk does the same thing. Hashem pokeh echivim, Hashem zokeh kufufim. He opens up the eyes of the blind. he helps those who are bent over stand up. And this is referring to people who are victims of physical or emotional suffering. And he'll help you out with that too. And how do we see that? Hashem Ohed Tzadikim. He says that if you find a way through your own Avodas Hashem and you make yourself worthy, you'll see that Hashem will bail you out. Even if you're going through hard times, you're suffering emotionally. I don't think he means you're going to have a miracle cure and a blind person is going to be able to see. But I think in general, he's saying people who are going through difficult times, whether it's physical or emotional handicaps, they can work on their own tzidkus, Hashem Ohed Tzadikim, and they can trust that Hashem will get them to a better place. And then Hashem Shomer Gerim, Yasim Amana Yadeid, Derech Hashem Yaveh. So here too, Gerim and Yasim Amana, these are converts and orphans and widows. So these are people who are in need of protection because of their social status or their protector is no longer there. They died and they're all alone. So they've got external problems. Hashem will be there for them too. The Derech Hashem Yaveh, and the people who are making it hard on them, he will thwart their efforts. So all of this is the things that individuals go through. And this whole Kapitel Tehillim is saying, Hashem is out there for you, there's Hashgacha Pratis, just have Yitachon, and remember, relate it all back to Hashem, even when things aren't working out. I'm going to skip the list, possibly because that's going to get us into another direction. But I know that it's there, and it's important, but I'm going to skip it for time. Okay, the next Kapitel is Kuf Mem Zayin. So he says here, Kuf Mem Zayin, his intention is to awaken Klal Yisrael within the Golus. We're going through a hard Golus about its eternal relationship with Hashem. You know, I'm reading his words, means to impart to the Jewish people as a whole as it endures the bitter lot of exile. Just that we should know that ultimately Hashem is going to, we, Klal Yisrael, are the vehicle by which Hashem will bring the word of Hashem to all mankind through our endurance, through our continued keeping with Hashem and His Torah. So as you'll see, there's a couple of places where there's like separations in how this capital works, different parts, different sections here. So first, the first few psukim, first is introductory psukim. Haluka ki tozam alakim ki naim novasila. It's appropriate to give Hashem a praise. Bonei Yerushalayim is where it really starts. Hashem builds Yerushalayim. Nidchei Yisrael Yichanes. He gathers all the dispersed of Klal Yisrael. When we speak about Yerushalayim, and bonei means it's in the current tense, he is currently building Yerushalayim. So Yerushalayim represents the place of the Torah. The Beis HaMikdash represents the house of the Torah. Every time Hirsch talks about the Beis HaMikdash or Tzion, he always refers back to, it's the house of Hashem's rule through the Torah. When we walk into the Beis HaMikdash, we're supposed to walk out remembering what Hashem wants of us from His Torah. All the things in the Mikdash are there as symbols. Hashem builds up Yerushalayim even when we're not there. That's our role. Klal Yisrael's role is to be the preservers of that Torah throughout our exile, and to be a light to the world should also get that message. So, Bonei Yerushalayim Hashem. Even though people have made broken hearts, individuals, Hashem is taking care of everybody. He heals up their wounds. He counts stars, everything, every star, Hashem is thinking about everything. Nothing is forgotten. And everything has its place. And we may be currently downtrodden, and we may feel like those other nations, they seem to be so bright and so victorious and so strong. Where do we fit in during this exile? Everything matters, and Hashem doesn't forget a thing. Godola b'nein rav koch l'slun aso ein mispar. Listen to this. Hashem's chesed is great. Godol always means chesed, according to Hirsch. And he's got endless power. He can get his goal achieved. L'slun aso ein mispar, he says as follows. It's a funny word. He says it says not. Tavuna means understanding. Tavuna is not a commodity. What does it mean? There's no number to his tavuna. It's just like, do you rate tavuna by numbers? So he says what it really means is Klal Yisrael are very small in number. We seem to be unimportant. But Hashem's plan for Klal Yisrael is going to come through because of Hashem's thinking process, his tavuna. For Hashem's plan, numbers don't matter. The fact that we're so small is irrelevant. When I'm saying this starts, it's all one idea. That right now, despite how small we look, Hashem is busy building Yerushalayim. And just like everything else matters, Klal Yisrael is dear to him, and his Torah is going to be preserved through us. And so he goes through a bunch of different things here. Let's talk about how nature functions very nicely and is getting along. Every part of nature is functioning with each other very well. The only issue is man. We'll skip over to Pasuk Ches. Hamachaseh Shemayim Biyavim Mechem Eretz Matar Hamatzmi Chatzir, etc. Hashem prepares for the heavens their clouds, and the earth gets its rain, and therefore everything can grow. And the next pasuk, he gives all the animals their food, and the ravens who may have a problem, they're going to get their food too. So the universe is functioning just fine. It's only mankind that all of a sudden we were given mastery over this world, and we're the ones who, because we want to get our stuff, we start competing with each other. We wage wars, and we have violence, and that's the exact opposite of what Hashem wants from his world. So why did Hashem give us mastery over his world? Just to mess it all up? Everything else seems to be functioning harmoniously. The next pasuk says, Hashem really is not impressed with might. You can have these, you know, back in those days, the warriors went on their horses. Or the strong ways, the big strong thighs, big tough guys. Hashem's not impressed with that. Hashem was hoping, he gave man this power over his world for them to willingly choose to see Hashem in the world. And it's unfortunate that it takes all of history till man's finally going to get it right. But that's Klal Yisrael's role, to carry the Torah into the world till eventually the world's going to figure this out. Therefore, ultimately, the next pasuk says, back to Yerushalayim, Shabbat Yerushalayim is Hashem. Hallelujah, L'kayach Tzion. Now we're talking back to Tzion, the Mokam HaMikdash, the Mokam that has the Torah. You will one day prevail. The world's going to see that. So while the nature understands Hashem as the ruler, and man, in the meantime, doesn't get it, and man is violent, but Hashem is giving Klal Yisrael the role of the bearers of the Torah to ultimately be victorious, and Hashem will one day, through his hashgacha, get the world to where it has to go. In Yerushalayim, he talks about the prosperity. If you look at Pasuk Yudalid, Hasam Gevulech Shalom, Chelech Chitimi Asbiech, it's peaceful. When Yerushalayim works, so then it's physically prosperous, it's not just spiritually beautiful. And then he says, look at water. Water listens to God already, and we should take our lead from water. He talks about how rain can come down, it turns into snow, it turns into frost, and then it melts, and it's freezing cold. And all of these things with power, the power of Hashem can completely dominate nature. And all of nature is subservient to Hashem throughout nature. Hashem wants us to take note of how nature functions and let us listen to him too. And that's, again, Klal Yisrael's role. Magid Devarav Yaakov, Chukav Mishpatav Yisrael. So Hashem speaks his words to Yaakov. Again, I didn't really dwell on this too much. Yaakov and Yisrael, how this fits in. I have to think about that some more, maybe for next time. But he's teaching us his Torah. And chukov u'mishpatov for Yisrael. We get his chukim. Those are the mitzvahs that are dealing with our refinement of our spirit and teaching us sensitivities in life. Mishpatim are the social laws. Hold on a second. And then it says, the rest of the world, even their mishpatim aren't mishpatim, because they're basically they're just out of convenience. People create laws because it makes sense. You know, I don't want you to kill me, so I'll make a law that I can't kill you. But whatever is expedient, whatever makes sense for now, those are going to be our laws. That's not going to be a lasting, real, objective set of laws. So their mishpatim aren't even mishpatim. Hirsch writes in a number of places, chukim are really a training ground. They have other purposes too, but chukim they're a training ground for us to learn to listen to something objective outside ourselves. We don't have to understand why. it's good for us. It helps us, it purifies us, it makes us sanctified. But chukim are already beyond what we would have come up with. And when we're accustomed to keeping chukim, we're also open to hearing a set of mishpatim that aren't our mishpatim, but they're God's mishpatim. So again, the theme of this whole kapitel is Hashem's hashgacha pratis in the whole world, and essentially Klai Yisrael's role in this. The next kapitel, Kuf Mem Ches, so this sings of the final moment when the world is going to really join together in one great song of praise to the Creator, when it finally, when we reach this goal, when it happens. And very quickly, you see, it talks about different categories. The first six psukim are the celestial spheres, and from Zion to Yud Gimel are the terrestrial spheres, including the sea, the elements, land, vegetation, birds, animals, and mankind. Men and women of all ages and places in the social strata. So just quickly to look at that, that's essentially what it is. It's like a song, and it's just identifying all these different parts of the creation. So verse, the Pasuk Aleph talks about the Shamayim, and it talks about the Malachim, and it talks about the sun and the moon and the stars, and then it talks about the different levels and the Mayim, all the what's all, whatever's going up there, upstairs in the heavens. And they all, Yahalo Hashem Hashem, Yutzivav and Devo, He commanded, they exist. And He kept them going there forever. That's their, they were set into place, Pasuk Vav, right? By Yamidein, La'alilama, He set them there forever. Chok Nasan V'lo Yavor. He set it up as a statute. Nothing's going to change. That's how He designed the Shemayim. Then He says, Haluas Hashem and Arts. Now we're going down to the terrestrial sphere. And we talk about the Taninim, all the different, who knows what these Taninim are, these huge fish and swirling floods and fire, which is referring to lightning and thunder and lightning and snow and vapor and storms. Everything listens to Hashem. The whole world is going to sing in praise of Hashem. Mountains and hills, fruit trees and cedar trees, all living beings, all animals, and insects and birds. And now we move into the human sphere. Malachei Eretz v'chol ha'umim, kings and all nations. Sarim v'chol shefer. It's finally, if they're finally learning the lesson of history, they're all now going to participate together in one big song, Hashem. Bachurim v'gam v'sulos, whether they're young or old, zekenim in the Arim, Yehalu Hashem Hashem, ki niskav shmo levado. Hirsch points out, until now, the mistake of the nations was that they attributed independent power to something beneath Hashem. The Ovdei Avodah Zarah attributed power to the stars, the moon, whatever these energies were that they were worshiping and trying to manipulate to get them to respond to them. But ultimately, the whole world's going to realize that Hashem in Niskav, Hashem is above all of that. They're going to attribute everything back to the one source, the one and only Hashem. Hodol Eretz Shemayim. And despite the fact that the whole world is going to finally join in together, and everyone's going to recognize the truth, but Klai Yisrael, because we were the ones who held that banner throughout history, so he says here, the Chassidov is referring to the nations of the world, Umma Sa'olam. Klai Yisrael's horn will be raised up, and they're going to praise us even at that time. They're going to recognize that we all join together, but we have a unique place. Hirsch points out, I underlined this somewhere, hold on, that that's our only difference at that point. Others may disagree, but that's going to be the only thing that really distinguishes us at the very end, is the fact that we were always there from the very beginning. Ultimately, the world's going to come to their full acceptance. That doesn't mean they're all going to convert to Judaism. That's not the point. They're all going to keep the laws of humanity as they should have all along. But that's, everyone's doing what they're supposed to do, and that's beautiful. That's great. That's all Hashem really wanted. Klai Yisrael will be uniquely recognized, not because we're a frumer, we keep more mitzvahs, but because we were the ones who kept it going throughout history, that ultimately the world would learn that, and they have us to thank that ultimately we got there. So the next kapitel, Kuf Mem Tes, hold on a second. So this is essentially the same as Kuf Mem Ches, that we're talking about what happens when the world finally gets there. It's just in greater detail. First, it talks about this. You got to tell this to Rabbi Ephraim Twersky. He's not going to like this. It says here that the first pasuk, "Haluka Shir Hashem Shir Chadash," will be a new song, Tilaso, his praise is going to be Pekahal Chasidim. You know what Kahal Chasidim means, according to Hirsch? It means a congregation of non-Jews. That's what Kahal Chasidim means. That all the Umas HaOlam are going to finally recognize who Hashem is. Tilaso Pekahal Chasidim. And also Yisnach Yisrael, that's another category. But the Kahal Chasidim is one thing. Yisrael is the next pasuk. Yismach Yisrael bi'osav, v'neitim yigilu malchum. Klal Yisrael, they're going to realize Hashem formed them and made them. We have a unique place in this history. V'neitim, so they're going to delight in their king who had been ruling them. So then, hold on a second. Yeah, these are the first, Beis through Dalet is all particularly about Klal Yisrael. And then we go, Hey and Vav, back to the nations of the world. Yalzu Chasidim b'chavod, they're going to rejoice in honor. Yiranu Amishkosam, they're going to finally be able to relax, because there are many fine people that are non-Jewish who have been doing the right thing all along, and they've been miserable because their society has been telling them, "Why are you being such a pacifist and so sweet? No, you got to be tough. You got to be, you know, might mix right, and you're going to if you're too nice, they're going to push you over." And they've been trying to be good people, and their society is giving them a hard time. Finally, they can relax, and they're going to be happy, and no one's going to bother them. They're going to realize that these nice people in our midst were right all along. And that's going to be the cherpifios. It's going to be a double-edged sword that those people are going to have of the non-Jews. Roma mos kelbrigun, and they're going to be able to rejoice Hashem deep in their throat from deep inside. The cherpifios, they're going to have a double-edged sword in their hands. What's the double-edged sword? On the one hand, they'll serve their avoda will serve to protect them against attack from those of their fellow men who were persisting in their hostility to their way of life. That's one thing. On the other hand, it's going to guard them from anything that we're going to talk about soon, all the punishment that's going to happen to those people who did wrong throughout history. They're free from that. So they're, because they didn't do anything wrong. There are a lot of good people out there in the world. They're not going to suffer when Hashem's final judgment is going to come. So that's what the next pasuk says. There's going to be satisfaction or revenge, chastisements to the nations of the world, because Hashem promised it's going to happen, and that's covered for Hashem, that truth is finally going to be victorious. And the next few we're going to talk about, there's going to be judgment. It's not going to be a simple thing for the world. But this is really, the whole world is going to be singing, and it's some of the covet of Hashem is part of the song. I don't think we're going to be relishing watching people suffering. That's not the point. But it's that the emes is going to come out. There's going to be a joy in seeing finally the world knows the truth. Lastly, the last capital, the last haluka, this is beautiful. I never noticed this before. Maybe I was reading too fast the last 20 times, but listen to this first pasuk here. Haluka halukel b'katsho, halu b'kia uzo. What is katsho? What is katsho? What is this katsho? So Hirsch says it means Hashem's sanctuary. It's the Makam HaMikdash. And that's one area where Hashem has input into the world through his Torah again. And then it's Halu Birkia Uzo. Rakia is the heavens. That's where Hashem has control or shows his control over nature. We've talked about this a few times. The big theme in Hirsch's writings, the God of history and the God of nature. God of history and his input in guiding human conduct. So that's through the Mikdash and through what the Mikdash represents. That's the Torah. So, and that's the first general sphere. The next pasuk is talking about the way Hashem behaves. Halu b'gvuro sav, halu kirov gudlo. Gvuro means midas hadin. And gudlo, again, Hirsch says this all the time, is midas harachim, that's chesed. So these different aspects of how Hashem is involved in the world. One is his Torah and how he's directing human conduct to its end goal. Well, again, we're talking at the end of days, finally. This is the end of all Sefer Tehillim, where everything finally reaches where it's got to go. So there's a big joy in the world at that moment. And now we realize, look what Hashem has done for us. In this Makam HaMikdash, this Kel B'Kadsho, and then how he's been running nature through the central, I guess that's the central office of nature, is the Shamayim. Midas HaDin, where everything is his power, and yet tempered with the Rachamim. And then he says, the celebration is through different kinds of musical instruments, and each instrument stands for different things. So first he says that the shofar, as he says it also, we'll get there, there's a whole shir on that topic about what the shofar is, and he compares it to the chatzotzos in the midbar when we were traveling. But the shofar essentially is a call to attention, a call to God. And nebel v'chinar is also, it's more subtle and gentle. Nebel v'chinar are stringed instruments, and they are essentially meditation upon God. So these are categories of pay attention, think about God. Those are instruments that get you in that mood. Sofu machol, those are drums and dancing and circular dancing. That's joy and celebration about God, but in a group. Minim the Ugov, her says, interestingly, I don't see this so often, he writes, we are not sure what the literal meaning of Minim and Ugov are. We have absolutely no facts upon which we could base any conjecture as to its literal meaning. But then he shows he has a couple of places where maybe it might sort of mean, essentially he says, it means joy for an individual. He thinks that's what it means. He saw that maybe by Eov. But he doesn't know what the instruments are, but they're kind of instruments that he thinks you would play in order to stir up joy when you're feeling joy as an individual. I don't know. Maybe it means playing your guitar. Tziltzulei shama. So tziltzulei are they're symbols. Tziltzulei shama and tziltzulei sru are two different kinds of symbol sounds. One is one big loud crash meant to get everyone's attention. It's meant to get the whole group's attention. Tziltzulei srua, as he says by Tkir Shofar, srua means it's a whole rapid series of sounds, and the goal is to stir up emotions. So all of this is different kinds of emotional states. Again, the meditating about God, waking up, that's the first, that's the shofar, we're meditating about God, different instruments, joy with a group, joy individually, getting attention, stirring up your emotions. All of these are different forms of waking up or thinking about God. And then the final pasuk of Tehillim says, Kol HaNeshama, which you may think it means every soul, but it doesn't. It means every breath, because neshima is breath. Every single living breath should be finding its expression in how to connect to God. And he says all of these musical instruments that we just spoke about, that's what it means by every breath. No matter what experience you're experiencing, find a way to dedicate that to Avodas Hashem. I'll just read that last paragraph. Let every breath here recognize, sense and perceive God in all things that life may bring. In the serious introspection of solemn moments, as well as in pensive meditation, in the widespread rejoicing of public jubilation, as well as in the quiet serenity of inner happiness, in the unexpectedness of great surprise, as well as in the stirring force of profound emotions, kol ha'neshamot ha'olka. So let it all be something that's going to direct you back to Avodas Hashem. But that's the goal of all of history, really. And Tehillim ends with this moment at Acharis HaYamim, where Klal Yisrael is recognized for who they are, where every individual has its place, the nation has its place, but all nations will ultimately, other than what happens for those who are judged, but at the end of time, all of the universe as well as all of man is going to find a way to constantly be in a state of song and meditation about Hashem. So all of that, we say in 5 minutes every day, mumbling through the words, unfortunately. And I myself, like I said, I prepared this. It must have taken me at least 3 hours, if not more, to just go over this with the commentaries, write my notes, all my highlighting, and then trying to pay attention to what I'm just sharing with you while I'm davening. And it's not easy. So the only real answer is to start much earlier in davening and spend 10 minutes doing what you usually do, 5 minutes, and then think a little bit more. Maybe have a sitter where you write your little notes to remind yourself of some ideas or some of it. It's something. If we try, we'll figure out a way to have some of this stick.